Well, Chris, here goes. I'm going to make an attempt to do as you asked and tell you the story of how I came to possess this disc that we're all so interested in. My name is Frank Cooper. In 1951, I was an engineer working on the Ferranti Mark I computer, recently installed at Manchester University. At that time, Alan Turing was in charge of the programmers and had, in fact, written a programmer's manual. He sent a copy of this manual to a friend of his who was alleged to be a maths master at one of the better-known public schools. His name, I think, was Christopher Strachey. I may be wrong in that. But the outcome of this was that Chris was invited to write a program and bring it up to Manchester and try it out on this brand new computer. In due course, he arrived with sheafs of paper and installed himself at a tape punch and laboriously transcribed his program onto punch paper tape, which was the done thing in those days. Life's much easier these days, thank goodness. Anyway, he successfully accomplished this task and put the tape into the computer, and it obviously worked. His program ran, and to the astonishment of everybody in the room, the computer started to play in a very raucous manner the national anthem. Oh, we're all agog to know how this had been done, but it was fairly simple in the end. One of the computer instructions was called Hoot. This was an instruction which simply applied a 240 microsecond pulse to a loudspeaker. Now this could be done at a maximum rate of about 1 kilohertz, but if you wrote a little program with a loop containing this Hoot instruction, you could obviously make the frequency lower than 1,000 cycles. Now Chris Strachey had worked out how to produce something like a scale using different delays in the loop. The notes were quite low. I would imagine the scale started somewhere around 200 cycles, but judge that for yourself when you hear the tape made from the disc. It's many years since I've played this disc, and I really can't remember much about it. But following Chris Strachey's effort, producing music in inverted commas from the machine, everybody got interested. Engineers started writing music programs, programmers were writing music programs, and eventually word got around that this marvellous computer, or the electronic brain as it tended to be called by the press in those days, everybody wanted to hear this, and one of the groups came along at the time was a recording crew from BBC Children's Hour. The leader of the team was one of the aunties, I think Auntie Muriel, but there again, after 40 odd years, I may very well be wrong. Well, in those days the machine wasn't all that reliable, but we managed to get it working for the necessary 4 or 5 minutes for the BBC to make a recording of various tunes which had been written for the computer, and we were all very happy. Now, me being cheeky, asked Auntie Muriel, if I could have a copy. And she said, "Ooh, no, copyright and all that. I wouldn't possibly let you have a copy of this. But wait a minute, I'll see if Fred in the recording van has a scrap disc. We might be able to record something for you if you can make the machine go again." Well, Fred very kindly turned up with a scrap disc and put it on and received instructions to lower the cutter at the right moment, but by this time the computer was getting a bit sick, and it didn't want to play for very long, as you will see when you copy the disc. But at least it does give some idea of what the very first music played on a Universal computer sounded like. I don't doubt many people are quite interested in this, and following this, of course, the Hoot instruction was greatly magnified and put into use on subsequent computers. There's a very nice little tale that I think is probably true. One of the commissioning engineers, some years later, involved with Mercury, was in a hotel room waiting to go on site to do some commissioning of a Mercury, and he switched his bedroom radio on. And what should come on but an interview at the Bracknell Weather Centre. Now, this superb new computer that we have here, the Ferranti Mercury, is now about to forecast the weather. And lo and behold, you heard some raucous semi-music coming out of this computer, which was supposed to be the computer forecasting the weather. However, Jeff, being very familiar with the machine, recognised this music as the overall test program. He also recognised that there was a fault in the multiplier on the computer. So much for that. Well, as everybody knows nowadays, even small personal computers can play far better music than this one, but I suppose it had to start somewhere.